We're live.
I'm live. Just want to make sure everybody's awake. It's a beautiful day. And Lord, we just acknowledge this is really a very important day. Around the world, people are gathering in every time zone to celebrate that very, the birth of, of your church. When your spirit came down upon your disciples, 120 in the upper room. Was it 120?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. 120. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we just acknowledge, Lord, that we are totally dependent upon you. We rise up in a spirit of glory and expectation of your movement. We just thank you for your faithfulness.
Yes.
And you've got a great plan. You've created a great universe, and we have an opportunity to look out over this valley and declare, this is your valley. This is your kingdom is coming. And that we just ask you to empower us, to strengthen us, the word of God that you shared this morning, the praise and thanksgiving will be a time that will bring you much glory and much honor. And it'll be encouragement to us, and we want to just bless you. And we just thank you, Lord, that your people around the earth are gathering for that purpose. And we come in agreement with all the prayers being proclaimed around the earth, around the globe, and even as they gather at the University of Arizona tonight, that your people will come from this whole valley to that place where they can gather together and assemble for your glory. Amen. We acknowledge our dependency and our excitement at what you're about to bring about in these last days and for your soon return. In the name of Jesus, amen.
So I got a special treat for this opening scripture. We are all going to be saying it together. And there is a rhyme and a reason on how we are going to be doing this special scripture reading. But we will wait because I have something special to go with this special scripture reading. And so I'm kind of waiting for the special. Okay, here we go. Y'all recognize that, right? Let us read together Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me, the Lord Jesus Christ, everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Yes, Holy Spirit, come and fill us. Empower us, Lord, with your mighty Holy Spirit today. In those areas of our life, Lord, that we need an extra little oomph to do, whether it be to witness to our neighbor, to that person that is sometimes mean to us, to that person that doesn't recognize you anymore, Lord, to be your light in their life. More love, more more of you in my life, more love, more power, more of you in my life. We're going to sing that again. Ready? More love, more power, more of you in my life, more love, more power, more of you in my life, and I will seek you with all of my heart, and I will seek you with all I'm going to play the chords to this song, but I'd like you just to sing a new song to the Lord out of your hearts. Just sing to him. It could be, oh Lord, I love you, Lord. Oh Lord, I need you, Lord. Oh Lord, come into my heart. Oh Lord, we seek your face. Oh Lord, we need your touch. Oh Lord, be real in my your face. We seek your strength. We seek your joy in our lives. Oh Lord, we seek your power. Oh, your saving grace. Oh Lord, more of you in our our heart's desire today. More love, more power, more of you in my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Touch your people today, Lord Jesus. Touch our body, our soul, and our spirit, Lord. Refresh those areas that need refreshing, Lord Jesus. Ignite those areas that need to be ignited with fire. Heal those areas that need a healing, Lord, by your might and by your power. We love you, Lord. You may be seated. We're going to continue to bless the Lord and worship him with our tithes and his offering. Chris, if I could have you come up and pray over the offering.
Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful, beautiful day. And we thank you that in the midst of economic downturn, you bless us abundantly, that there is no economic downturn in the Lord. He's got it all in his hands. And Lord, we thank you for what you have so freely given us in your Son, Jesus, in our health, in our families, just everything that you give us. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, we just give back just a pittance, but we give it joyfully. For you love a joyful giver. Thank you, Lord.
Heavenly Father, we truly, once again, thank you for everything. And I just lift these up to you, Lord. These are your tithes and our offerings, Lord. And they are given with cheerful hearts, with hearts that love you, with hearts that are obedient to you, the leading of the Holy Spirit. because in every part of obedience, that is worship. Lord, we thank you and praise you that as these are offered to you, that we even, as the Four Square Church, as Pathway of Hope, we tithe off of 10% of these 9 non-designated tithes and offerings, Lord. And we give it to Four Square because Four Square is trying to reach around the world. And it helps the offices, and it helps with missions, and it helps with those that are tending to the legal things that the Four Square Church does and has to handle. But it also helps so that the churches can be healthy around the world. And it helps with missions around the world. Even part of that 10% tithe goes to missions around the world. Lord, we truly thank you and praise you. For we are the international church of the Four Square Gospel. We are all one body. And actually, even that is part of the body of Christ with all those who have Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So we truly thank you that Four Square is one that works with interdenominational. And its goal is also worldwide evangelism. Just getting that word out. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. But in all things, charity. Your love. And Lord, I thank you and praise you. May you pour your blessings upon these offerings. Multiply them, Lord God, for we want our church to be used for you and for your glory with the highest integrity. For it is you we truly answer to. And Lord, I ask and pray that you will bless each and every one who is given. We truly give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise, and the worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to go to this to tell you guys of a couple of things. And remember the Global Day of Prayer, like it's here and here if you want to. Well, I know that, but I mean, like for the U of A, this gives the directions and if you're able to go to that tonight. And then, but I wanted to share with you, there was the verdict in, remember that gentleman who had the abortion clinic? And I have from Focus on the Family a little write-up, and I'm going to keep it over here. So if you want to read about the verdict, you can go to Focus on the Family, and they have like a little video clip of an interview regarding that decision. So I just wanted to share with you about that. Pastor Mark Peterson, we had a Four Square thing that we had to go to on Friday and Saturday. And Pastor Mark Peterson from CCE, he was there, and he actually had contacted me and said, Pastor Karen, are you going to be there? Because I have something for you and your church. And I wanted to read to you about this gentleman and what he wrote on his letter. Dear Pastor Karen, it is with great excitement that I extend our most cordial invitation to you and your congregation to attend our miracle conference with Yesupadam Vunamatla. Next Friday and Saturday night, 7 o'clock. Yesupadam is a fiery preacher used mightily by God in signs and wonders and miraculous healing. I believe this year's event will be over the top. He had thought we had gone to last year when he was there, and we had not. So Yesu comes with a burden. I like the shorter part of that name. Yesu comes with a burden for the nations and a burning desire to win souls. Apart from his travels, which take him all over Europe, England, and the United States, he oversees 650 churches in India, 170 of which he has planted himself. He has, I know, huh, isn't that great? He has over 100 children in his orphanage, a home, and I just talked to a gentleman from originally from Congo who went to Rwanda, was there for 5 years, and then eventually came here, and he's getting a citizenship. I met him at a conference, and he said, Pastor Victor, which he's gotten me in contact with him, also has an orphanage and helps a lot of people. In fact, he helped him because a lot of these people have no clothing, no food, no nothing when they're escaping. And in refugees, when you escape from another country to another country in a refugee status, you cannot work. So it's really a difficult situation, but they're alive. He himself has an awesome testimony of being alive, and it's been shown internationally. He and 3 others survived a massacre, and he talked about God's hand on his life, this Justin gentleman that I talked to. But This gentleman also has an orphanage for 100 children and a home for widows and also a ministerial training institute and a daily television program. He's been instrumental in reaching radical Muslims and Hindus in droves. Isn't that awesome? This event is for the entire city. So please come, bring your people, and take advantage of this powerful visitation from heaven. If you have any questions, feel free to call the church office. But please, you know, if you have Friday night or Saturday night open, go ahead. And I have the flyers. Pick up a flyer. Tell people about it and make it. CCE is off of 6 off of 10, right? That way. And 6. So it's near the Veterans Hospital. It's kind of near. Centro Cristiano Esperanza, which means... I know. Pastor Susanna, you know, came up to me and greeted me in Spanish, and then I said, you know, what did I say, bien, you know? And then she said something else, and I said, see? Because, like, our Southwest District Supervisor, she's from Colombia, right? And she was speaking the Spanish, and one of her guys that was working with her, named Kelly, but that's his first name, and he was going, see, not understanding that she was saying, so they were teasing. But I'm going to put these over here. There's that thing, and there's the, if you want to see the letter, and there's the flyers to tell people about. Because unfortunately, we don't have much notice. It's next Friday and Saturday night. But it's free. I'm sure they will do a love offering. But that was kind of neat that he invited us. So what's today? You guys are awesome. Wow, you've been paying attention and everything that you've been hearing, and I am just very impressed. One thing, I love artwork, and so I was looking online of the artwork, and there is a couple that I saw, one on the first slide, and that's 37. And it's the Western depiction of the Pentecost, and it's painted by Jean, yeah, there's another name, Restute, but it was painted in 1732. And then the next slide, it shows a stained glass window from a cathedral in France. And I thought, wow, some of the stained glass artwork is just incredible. I really, going back to the other slide, don't you love the painting of how that is? I mean, it's just a neat depiction, but I love the one is like kneeling. They have people in all different positions. They also have the women showing and the Holy Spirit coming down, and it's just a beautiful painting. And then the stained glass, going back to that, I'm sorry, I'm going back and forth, but I love the intricacy. We've lost a lot of artists in artwork. You know, it's rare to find. You have it, but that craftsmanship is not always easy to find anymore. And then the next painting is a painting of the Pentecost, and this is by Giotto de Bondone, and they're thinking it's 1320 to 1325. This is at the National Gallery in London. This is shown of the Pentecost. But I just like the way each one kind of depicted. Some of them, I see that they're like, in that first slide, they're kind of, some are like a little bit apprehensive. Some are like peaceful. Some are anxious. Some are in a humbled state. I love the way that they are showing the different, how the artist interpreted Pentecost. But on slide number 40, what is Pentecost? What is Pentecost? Some know for sure, and so I'm sure a lot of you know, but just to go over a few things, Pentecost is the old Greek and Latin name for the Jewish harvest festival or the festival of weeks. In the Hebrew, it's Shavuot. And literally, it means the feast or festival of weeks, which we can find in the Bible under, Exodus 34:22. You'll see that. Also, you'll see the Pentecost or the harvest festival, the Feast of Weeks. It is called the the Feast of Harvest or the Festival of Reaping, and that can be found in Exodus chapter 23, verse 16. Also, I'm sorry, the Feast of Weeks can be found also in Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 10. Then again, the Pentecost is mentioned again, the Harvest Festival, and at this time it is called the Day of First Fruits, and that is found in Numbers chapter 28, verse 26. So in the Hebrew, they had a different way of quote, celebrating it and what they called. Since Shavuot occurs 50 days after Passover, the Hellenistic Jews gave it the name Pentecost. And Pentecost is really recognizing 50, the number 50, the 50th day. So these feasts were, the original feasts were 50 days after. So they were celebrating the harvest, which is what we are going to be celebrating. See, Pentecost was the beginning of the church, of the harvest of souls. I want us to get our Bibles, and I brought some extra Bibles. If you prefer following along in the exact one that I will be reading from, I brought some extra Bibles of the New King James Version. But if not, we will be going to Acts chapter 1. And I'm going to read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he, Jesus, had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise being the Holy Spirit, of the Father, which he had said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now, when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So here they are. They're waiting. They're waiting for that promise, the Holy Spirit. They're obeying the Lord Jesus. In that time that they're waiting, then Peter decides, you know, hey, let's make a decision and let's replace the betrayer, Judas Iscariot. So It goes on in that verse, but then we come to Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to be reading Acts chapter 2. Went through 42. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. A rushing mighty wind. Now, remember when we had Ron and Pastors Ron and Jenny Carson. I was going to say Rod. It's Ron, right? I think it's Rod. Okay. I always get the other pastor from the Saddlebrook community. And I want to go Ron or Rod because I know one is Ron and one is Rod. So I did. But Pastor Rod and Jenny Carlson from Living Logos. And do you remember when he said, you know, to just listen to the word? So now what I want you to do is I want you to listen to the word, but I want you to watch the slides as you listen to the word. I'm going to go back to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. One accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were willing in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel in chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. We can find that. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, flood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy Spirit one to see corruption. Your Holy One, you have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ, Savior. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words testified and exhorted them, saying, he said, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Unity. They were one by the Lord Jesus. They were one in spirit. Because as 1 Corinthians 6:17 talks about, it says that we are united with the Lord and we are one with him in spirit. And that is what I love about Foursquare. It is dedicated to interdenominational and worldwide evangelism. There was never meant to be a denomination. But let's face it. So you kind of could say Foursquare is kind of like a non-denominational, which really a non-denominational is really denominational because it's non-denominational. And so, But Fourscore really is that way. I mean, they are known around the world, and they have a great reputation with missions around the world of working with others. People love working with Fourscore because Fourscore gives us a freedom in that essential unity. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and no one comes to the Father but by Jesus. That's an essential unity. And then you've got non-essentials, that is liberty. So you've got, remember, I've said this before, the one cup or multi-cups for the, you know, Lord's Supper, etc. And then, but in all things, charity, love. And we were talking about that this conference that we had, or like meeting session thing. They were talking about the new vision that Southwest District has. And one compliment was about that freedom of being able to creatively reach the lost and help them then to grow in the Lord. What were they doing? As we see in verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they were listening to the word of God that the Holy Spirit was downloading through them. And they were speaking into them because they knew it was the Holy Spirit. Because their spirit, they were already, it talks earlier, that they were being convicted. They were cut to the heart. And they were repenting. Not because of what they were saying, because of the Holy Spirit. So when we're sharing with others, which we need to do constantly and pray for others, it is not up to us to do the convicting. Just as when we were finally told about salvation, it wasn't up to whoever told you about salvation for you to be saved. It was the Holy Spirit and you receiving that call, that prompting, or that cut to the heart of your conscience, your soul, saying, I created you with a plan and a purpose, and I love you. And God is saying that to each and every one, and he wants us to be drawn to that. But he wants us to be on fire like they were on that day of Pentecost, having that joy of the Lord in us. And they continued steadfastly together in the doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. In unity, in prayers. So what have I asked everybody to do? I've asked people to constantly pray for Pathway of Hope, to go APE 7 times 7. Have I not? Slide 59. It shows the three men, and it shows two of them praying and the other one just like kind of like looking up expectantly to me. We don't have to pray like this. Some, they pray with their open hands up. Some pray with their eyes open. But they're together in unity, waiting together. And they are lit up by the fire of the Holy Spirit coming on them. And this is what we want people to be seeing in us. That light, in a sense, on the top of our head or permeating out of us. Because it's not us, it's the Holy Spirit in us. As we are united together, not only united with him, but united together. There was an old African saying, and I can't remember, I didn't write it down, but it just came to my mind, and it says that you can go fast alone, but you can go farther together. We can reach so many by pulling together. God gave us all different gifts and talents, and as we work together, and that united prayer, and he's receiving those prayers on behalf of those souls out here that we need to reach, those missionaries that we're praying for, Pastor Avind, or Dadu, as his nickname is called, as we're praying for him and the churches that he has in India, as we're praying for Pastor Steve and Beth Lavoy, as they are missionaries, Fourscore missionaries in Taiwan, and they are reaching and helping many churches in the Asia area over there. As we are praying for others that God puts on our hearts and those that we know, as we are praying for the persecuted church around, as we are praying for other pastors and other Christian ministries here, we are praying in unity because we those who have Jesus as our Lord and Savior are our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we are joining together in unity because we want to not only reach the lost souls, but help to join to help those to grow in the Lord, to help each other, to comfort and encourage and edify, exhorting one another. Because the days as they get closer to the return of Jesus, it's going to get darker and darker and harder and harder. And this is why we need Pentecost every day. We need to move in that Pentecost power. The days were not pleasant then, and we need to move in that power. And he knew that that power was needed, that promise was needed for them to be able to move out and to spread out and to help touch souls. And even if you're sitting there and you're just praying, don't think that that is just all you can do. Look at what moved when they united in prayer and they waited patiently. And they didn't give up. They obeyed the Lord and they waited and they kept praying and praying and praying, knowing that the Lord God was hearing those prayers and honoring them. And they were being obedient. It was worship unto the Lord. 10 days. And then they received it. Some of us may be praying for somebody, a lost soul, for years. And then they get saved. But don't give up praying for them. Don't give up praying for your neighbors. Don't give up praying for your family members. Don't give up praying. There is power in prayer. And the Holy Spirit is also our intercessor. Can you go to slide 66? This, I love this, where it shows the intercessor, and it shows the cross, the sign, it shows the Pentecost. But I love that dove. It's on fire. But look at the darkness all around. That's the fire of intercessory prayer. He is our intercessor. It says that in the Word of God. He is our helper. He is our comforter. He is our strengthener. He is our standby. He is our advocate. He will teach us all things. He will remind us of everything that Jesus has told us. He will tell us of things that are to come. He will guide us into all the truth because he is the Spirit of truth. And he is interceding on our behalf. If we go to Romans 8, you can see that he is even interceding in a language that is unknown to us because he knows the heart. He knows the perfect will of God. And he knows to change up those prayers to exactly what is God's will and God's way and God's timing and pleasing to him. And if we release to the Holy Spirit, pray, pray. And sometimes you just, all I know to say is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And ask the Holy Spirit to intercede on behalf, because sometimes you are so overwhelmed, you don't even know what to pray. And then be praying, change it up if it ain't what the way that it should be. If I'm too much of me in there, or what I want and desire, and I really want what's best. So Holy Spirit, change it up on the way up there to be in God's perfect will and in God's perfect way for whatever the situation or the person I'm praying for. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. As slide 60 says, Pentecost, we need to receive. They were willing to receive the word. They were willing to receive the power of the Holy Spirit so that they could be empowered to go out. And that church kept multiplying, as we read in Acts. Why? Because the people were in unity and they didn't give up meeting together, encouraging one another, praying together, and hearing God's word and applying it to their lives. They were doing the Great Commission. They went and they go and tell others about me, and make disciples. They weren't just telling others about them, they were also helping them to make disciples. A sad story that I read the other day was of the Booths that started Salvation Army. And remember, Amy Simba McPherson had very strong ties with the Salvation Army. And William Booth, and I've got to find my little notes here. Here it is, right here. William Booth and Catherine Booth, they had some pretty cool quotes that I thought we need to apply to our lives. William Booth was one who loved the Lord and was was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the denomination that he was in, he kept getting squelched because people were coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And he was a little bit different in how he presented. Remember, we were talking, Evelyn was saying, you know, her style of sharing and preaching is totally different than mine. And William Booth had that, where he was different and was kind of frowned upon in his different ways. Then I was reading about them in the General's book that about generals, and there was a story about the Booths and the Salvation Army, and the Lord led that to me, and it was sad to see. I was going, am I reading this? But then they revoked his traveling license because too many people were being saved and the churches couldn't handle the converts. I said, am I reading this right? But you know what? William Booth loved the Lord, and he knew he had a call in his life, and he was obedient to the authority over him. So he did what they told him to do, and he was on probation for a year. They took him to slum area, a really bad area. Nobody wanted it. Church area in the London area eventually. He had a couple disciplines go on there because of people being saved and his style. And then revoked. And so this time he's in a bad area in the London area, not in London itself, but in the London area, in a bad area. People were struggling. This is when the factories were starting to really come. And so those who had trades and stuff, they were losing their trades. And so a lot of adjustment at this time. And so a lot of people were in a depressed time, you should say. Hard to get clothes, food. A lot of sex trafficking was going on then. He recognized this, and then all of a sudden, a lot of drunkards, people were going to drinking to wallow in their sorrows. About every fifth house was a bar, a pub. And so the children even were going there. Well, he started witnessing, and his wife also was led to go to houses and lead people to the Lord. People were being saved. All of a sudden, their small little church of about 30 was growing in about a year to 300. And then it kept multiplying. Then he saw the needs of the injustice, the sex trafficking and the trade that was going on. That England had tried, that people had tried to get in their government to pass a law to raise the age of consent from 13 to 16. And it didn't pass. So they came up with ways to do it, and then eventually they were trying for 18, got it to 16. But in this, as he was being used by God to develop different ways of helping people, the poor, he was helping people feed them. They closed them down. They found ways to do that. He was doing all these different ways of helping people, and they kept trying to close them down. And when they took that one to court, two people were put in jail. They tried to put them in jail too, but they were unable to. And this man that was a newspaper reporter that helped to bring this and get all the facts, and then a lady who had been saved in the Salvation Army, you know, ministry, that time it was called something different, she also had to serve 3.5 years hard labor. After that, they found out that it could have been dismissed. Nobody knew that. There was something that they didn't have grounds to be able to, the person who presented it. But that was God's way. They didn't know this. They weren't taken in, but they didn't give up. They didn't give up fighting for justice. They had a desire to reach many people as they were, helping and saving people. And then they wanted to work with the other churches to help them to continue to disciple. But they ran into a problem. The churches didn't want to help disciple the new converts. So then they started having to do that. Salvation Army was very spirit-filled before and very doctrinally sound. And yes, they went into some strictness because of ways that they had to, because of laws and things that were going on and what they had to deal with and the lifestyles. But they kept getting people to go back to the Word. But Foursquare is known to be very welcoming and encouraging of those that are new converts, and of encouraging them and helping them to grow in the Lord, just as we are doing in our church. Pathway of Hope is a church that is having a discipleship program, and we will continue to grow more and more discipleship programs as we need to lead others to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But what does it take? Slide 61 shows just a simple person kneeling, yielded, and waiting for the Holy Spirit to work through them. They're saying, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Burn in me. Set me on fire, Holy Spirit. Come. As slide 63 shows, I love that white dove, but then the fire. The Spirit of Pentecost. We could see that in Acts chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people because they were filled with God's love, God's unconditional love, his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. That is the Spirit of Pentecost. And that is the Spirit of Foursquare. And that is the Spirit of Pathway of Hope. We need to thank the Holy Spirit, for he is gentle and he is powerful. We can move mightily with the Holy Spirit, who is gentle and who is powerful. Gentle as a dove, wise as a serpent, powerful, 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 because it is the power of God in us and through us. It is not us, it is the power of God working. That is why we need to thank him that the Holy Spirit is our intercessor and that we are on fire and we can fly as the Lord leads us by the power of the Holy Spirit to touch the lives of others. But we need to remember to celebrate Pentecost each and every day. Celebrate that we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Celebrate that we have been baptized with the Holy Spirit, that we have the Holy Spirit in us. We need to celebrate. We need to celebrate that was the birthday of the church. We need to celebrate daily the birthday of us when we became new in Jesus, because Jesus was our Lord and Savior, is our Lord and Savior. That day when he became our Lord and Savior, we became a new creature. Every day we should celebrate that. Every day we should celebrate that what Jesus did for us, each and every day. And we need to celebrate that we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And that power of the Holy Spirit has that gentleness and kindness to extend to others. We need to have that celebrating power. So I want to read to you this Precious Moments Bible that I got from my husband. We were dating. He knew that I loved the Precious Moments Bibles. My children had been given one each from their grandparents. And it says, this Bible belongs to Karen Marie, presented by Paul L. Kelly, for the little girl who lives in the woman I love. But, yes, 3/23/89. It was my birthday gift. But we all should be having that childlike faith, that little children inside going, woohoo! Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yes, I've got the power of the Holy Spirit. But I also have his gentleness and his kindness to be able to respond in a nice way to somebody who is not nice, who just cut me off in front of the road, who treated me terribly, who lied about me, to continue to receive them and respond to them in ways that Jesus would. But that only comes through that power of the Holy Spirit. We need to celebrate. So I want each of us to celebrate. We are going to be celebrating. Remember I told you that I got that one over there? And I got it from that girl at the Episcopalian, Episcopalian church. And the little girl, she was 6 years old and came up with me. So we made these. It's kind of like the ones over there. I had Pastor Janet make them. And then I think Chris wound up helping. Okay. And then we've got Vian too. But I want us to remember, because the little girl came up to me, and it was Pentecost Sunday, and at the Episcopalian church, they do it even more and respectful and honoring, and it was just like this beautiful, like gold Bible that was beautiful. And one thing that I missed about being raised in a Lutheran church is I love it that he is our friend, but what I miss is that honor. And some of the churches that honor and that respect, and we are to fear him. He is so holy and so righteous, but he's also so powerful. And we need to celebrate the Holy Spirit each and every day and have that childlike heart of praising God and thanking him for that Holy Spirit. When you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and what you have in him, the power of praying in tongues and the edification that you receive in that, the power of the Holy Spirit interceding on behalf of you, we need to celebrate each and every day. We need to have that childlike faith. So one of these days, maybe we'll have to make those little hats like those kids have. Or our future. Maybe not with the pews, because we love the chairs and the versatility. But we'll have to have so many. We won't be able to do all these wands for everybody. So we'll have to maybe do something like that with the strings. And then little signs of tongues over the congregation. And wouldn't it be cool if then those who aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit are baptized in the Holy Spirit that day and then go on with the power? I mean, we'll have to have several celebrations of Pentecost throughout the year, because more and more people are going to come as we continue to be that light and that childlike faith, because it's going to take that childlike faith as we get turned down again and again and again. But we shouldn't stop telling them about, guess what? Woo! Jesus is my Lord and Savior. We need to go out there and go, dudes, man, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. You know, we need to do it however you are, but we need to be excited. And we need to share that. And we need to keep in looking to him and expecting him to hear with the power that we have of prayer. We can celebrate Pentecost. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. In Jerusalem, in Catalina, Oro Valley, Tucson, throughout Judea. Well, that could be Pima County, Pinal County, and Samaria, Arizona, all the 50 states, and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth, the world. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, telling about Jesus as my Lord and as their Lord and Savior. He can be their Lord and Savior too. We can go and make disciples, teaching them to observe all that he, our Lord Jesus, has commanded us to do. We can be that. We can be that light. William Booth, a quote from him, as I had mentioned earlier. The chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Ghost. Christianity without Christ. Forgiveness without repentance. Salvation without regeneration. Politics without God. And heaven without hell. What are we hearing today, folks? Catherine Booth, his wife, quoted, "We want men who are set on soul saving, who are not ashamed to let everyone know that this is the one aim and object of their life, and that they make everything secondary to this. We should be on fire for him, praising him and celebrating Pentecost each and every day, celebrating what Jesus has given us and what we have, the fullness of our Heavenly Father through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, which is given to us by the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus is our Lord and Savior, his blood covers us, and we have the Holy Spirit in us. We are empowered when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit to go above and beyond for him and for his glory, for his purposes." Karl Marx once quoted, 2% of the passionate will rule the 98% who are indifferent. We don't have to be strong in numbers. And if we are passionate, passionate, as God is passionately pursuing every single one of the ones that he created, he does not want anybody to perish. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants them to be changed and transformed by the power of his word, by the power of his son, by the power of his blood, by the power of Jesus. And he is passionately pursuing each one, just as he passionately pursued us. And we need to passionately pursue others, because that is a commandment by the Lord God. And we can. 2% it only takes in this world. 2% to change this world upside down for the Lord's glory. We can. But it takes us to have those humble hearts. It takes us to be willing to be his servants. I want to hand these out. Paul. Chris. Pastor Janet, can you come up, please? I wanted to remind you of our Star Wars theme, because the Force is with us, and that Force is the power of the Holy Spirit given to each and every one of us through Jesus Christ being our Lord and our Savior. We are part of that force here in this world, in Catalina, in Tucson, in Oral Valley, in Pima County, in Pinal County, in Maricopa County, throughout Arizona, throughout all 50 states, throughout the world. We have that power in us and through us working. So I changed it up to remind you of the cities there. And we can be that power. And I'm handing out those prayer again, the acronyms, because there's power in prayer and unity. Pray for Pathway of Hope daily. Pray for the leaders. Pray for the persecuted church. Pray for other churches to thrive and prosper as they are obedient to the Lord. Pray that those who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit will receive that extra empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because the times are dark, they're going to get darker, and we are going to need that joined together power of prayer. We are going to take some time in worship unto our Lord. And we will have the prayer altar ministry during that time, because there's power in prayer.
Let your living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control. Every situation that has troubled my mind, all my cares and burdens,
Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. I want you to receive this. This is the blessing to each and every one. May the Lord bless you, watch over you, guard you, and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon and enlighten you and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto you. And may the Lord lift up his approving countenance upon you and give you peace. May the Lord give you that power, and may you receive the power, that ability, the efficiency, and the might through the Holy Spirit who has come upon you. And may you be the witnesses in Catalina, Oro Valley, Tucson, Phoenix, Gilbert, Mesa, Judea, Pima County, Pinal County, what would be Samaria, Arizona, and all 50 states. Lord, by you, may each of us continue to not quench or grieve your Holy Spirit, but to receive all that you have given us through the Holy Spirit, so that we may be your witnesses, Lord Jesus, to the ends, the very bounds of the earth, we will be telling everybody, everywhere, about Jesus Christ. We will not only speak the words, but we will be witnesses by our actions, by our deeds, as we continue to grow in your word, being transformed by your word, continuing to be renewed daily, refreshed, restored, and energized, filled with your power, filled with your gentleness, so that we can continue on in this world full of hardship and hatred. But people need you. We need you. We cannot go on without you, Lord. We desperately need you each and every day so we can touch the lives of others, passionately pursuing them, as this is what you've called us to do, and help them to know you, to grow in you, as we are trying to do ourselves, growing in you, continuing to learn your word, not only to just listen to it, not only to just read it to us, but to apply it to our lives. Lord, we thank you that when we fail, for we are imperfect, we have that cleansing power of the blood covering us. We truly thank you that Jesus Christ is our personal Lord and Savior. We truly thank you for your mercy and your grace daily for us, that your mercies are new every morning. We truly thank you that you are with us. And may we go out into the mission field, be that light for you, celebrating our birthday and Jesus being our Lord and Savior, and also celebrating the birth of the church, because the power of the Holy Spirit is what will multiply the church as the Holy Spirit convicts the lives of others that they need you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.